This is a verse Carol could sing. Oh,
yes.
And it's the only verse we'll deal with today, and then we'll home and have fried chicken, right? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Some might question my soundness of mind, but I will press on regardless. This verse also speaks to another kind of issue where the us in the verse, the people of sound mind, aren't very many anymore.
No.
In 1 Timothy, in chapter 1, Paul uses in verse 6 the word some. In verse 19, the word some. In 1 Timothy 5:15, some are turned. In 6:10, some coveted. In 6:21, some professing. There's been a downturn. By the time you get to 2 Timothy, it's all they, which are in Asia. Chapter 1, verse 15. It's all of them in 2 Timothy 3:11. So you move from some to all.
Yeah.
All the will of godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That separates quite a few people out.
Yeah.
If Christians today realize that their service to the Lord was not to get them something, churches would empty.
Yes.
The idea that you go to church to give your tithe so that God's going to give you 1,000 times more. The idea that you give to get, that you show up at church so that you get a blessing, is so contrary to the right doctrine of being crucified and your life hid, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. So Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, all men forsook me. We like to say that we embrace the Pauline pattern until we get to 2 Timothy. And there you are all by yourself. You're going to die and you're locked up waiting for that to happen. Have a nice day. It's not a pretty picture. In 2 Timothy, Paul is no longer telling Timothy how to ordain somebody and who to ordain and how to set things up. You're getting a lot more about keep at it.
Yes.
Don't quit. And that's needful. The spirit of 2 Timothy might be best expressed in a verse which we will bog down considerably. And that is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. These things that thou hast heard of me, not the earthly ministry of Christ or Peter, James, and John, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Our job's not done when we've taught it to faithful men.
Amen.
Our job goes on. Those faithful men need to be able to teach others also.
Amen.
I got a remarkable letter from a DBI graduate telling me that he's got quite a few people in his group now that have still got a lot of baggage and a lot of things that they don't understand. And as I read that, I thought to myself, wow, there's a guy who knows what the issues are.
Yes.
He's solid enough he can identify other people's errors and know how to fix them.
Yes.
That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2.
Amen.
We like to talk about the report cards and the paychecks that we get in life. Carol got an email this morning that was rather a paycheck. And just about put a tear in her eye when somebody's passing out her tracts and using her books and, you know, that kind of stuff. That's wonderful.
Amen.
You don't get much of that.
Nope.
You press on to teach others also.
Yes.
Because soon enough, as Psalm chapter 90 verse 10 says, you'll fly away. Mm-hmm. And that fly away day, the closer it gets, the more you realize that what you're leaving behind needs to be something that is used to teach others also.
Amen.
And it needs to be instructed. Now, when Paul writes, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, he's saying something that we need to put in our inner man and store it. Because so many verses speak to the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. That folks are proud to say, well, I'm a God-fearing Christian. I think I know what you mean. I think I know what you're trying to communicate. But Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells me he's not mad at me anymore.
Amen.
I've been reconciled, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. So, it's not that I need spanked. I've been crucified. Better than spanked is crucified with Christ. Job, the oldest writer in the Bible, the oldest book in the Bible, speaks to behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So, when people say, well, America is doomed because the fear of God is not before their eyes any longer. And you hear that kind of stuff. There's a whole lot of Bible that speaks to being afraid of the Lord. Some commentators are troubled by that. And so, they change fear to reverence. You have to revere the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, Psalm 19, verse 9. Enduring forever, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's a verse that you can sing. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you. Carol taught Sunday school for years, and I don't believe she ever had one class to scare the kids and give them the fear of the Lord.
Nope.
Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. So all this business of the fear of the Lord, there's nearly 20 verses that I've given you in today's outline dealing with the fear of the Lord. It's interesting. Paul doesn't talk that way.
No.
What I needed to fear, Christ paid for on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
My sin debt, my reprehensible behavior and thought life and all the rest of it, Christ paid for on Calvary's cross. And God completed me in Christ. So, the fear of the Lord is a common concept taught to covenant people. Because you've got a contract with God that says, if you perform, then you get the benefit. If you don't, you better hear the result. That's the point of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I set before you life or death. Choose life. It's the fear that is the motivator for Israel to keep its end of the covenant. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fail to perform, then there would be retribution. There would be judgment. Many Christians today teach something out of the book of Hebrews that if you are a Christian, God chastens those that He loves. And they'll put chastening on you as members of the body of Christ. And you read that in the Berean Bible Society literature.
Oh, yeah.
That you'll be chastened by God. I would not suggest that you do this, But were you to rob the 7-Eleven on the way home and take all the money in the drawer, you will go to jail eventually. They've got cameras. They'll figure out it was you. They'll come get you. They'll lock you up. It was you and the cops that did that. The Lord wasn't chasing you.
No.
When you have a flat tire, oh, God's trying to slow me down. I'm just too busy.
Yeah.
What you are is God's spin doctor.
Yeah.
Making up stories to go with things. And the most famous story of all, of course, is the preacher boy that had a little congregation of about 20, 25 people. And a big, bigger church, 250 people, 100 miles up the road, was candidating for a new preacher. And so the young man, he gets the call to go candidate and do a trial sermon and see if he'd be accepted or not. And he's driving up I-75 toward Sydney, and he's on his way north, and there goes the radiator. That smell that you get from the radiator, and cars chunking and clunking, and he can barely see through the smoke, and he rolls off the side of the road. And he says, "Thank you, Lord. I know now I should stay with my new congregation. Thank you, Lord, for stopping me from going to this other place and getting caught up in the numbers and all of that. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me a lesson." Same thing happens to another preacher, and he's there at the side of the road saying, "Curse the devil for stopping me. I'll walk on my hands and knees if I have to fulfill the call of God to go to this bigger congregation." Same car, same radiator, same highway, same circumstance. One spins it, "Thank you, Jesus." The other says, "Curse you, Red Baron."
Yeah.
God's spin doctors.
Yes.
Every time there's a mine disaster, every time there's a hurricane, every time there's a tornado rips through. Tornadoes start in trailer parks.
Yes.
I don't know why that is, but they start in trailer parks.
Yep.
And the guy on TV has teeth like a picket fence, and his name is Billy Bob.
Yeah.
"It sounds like a freight train there, Clyde." I don't know why that is. But the Lord, He protected me when we climbed inside the refrigerator. The tornado only threw us 3 blocks. We popped out of the refrigerator, cold, but fine. God put them in a refrigerator. They're God's spin doctors. And what about the people that died in the tornado?
Yeah.
Well, I never liked them anyhow. God was mad at them. God's spin doctors.
Yes.
Tornado went from Delbrook, skipped up the hill by where the ski lodge used to be, hit Stewart Road, right there by the golf course, came right down Stewart, where we lived, went up the hill, followed Stewart Road down to clear to Van Eaton.
Mm-hmm.
It stopped at the stop sign and made a left up Van Eaton.
Mm-hmm.
Got to Lower Bellbrook, jumped over the cornfields, hit Wally World's parking lot, but first it hit the Church of God, skipped over the Baptist, hit Wally World. God likes Baptists. The girl in the parking lot at Wally World. "Boy, it was like the Lord had His hand of protection over me." That same tornado killed a guy up at the Greene County Fairground.
Yes.
He was... He knew enough not to drive, so he parked his car waiting for the rain and storm to pass, and a tree fell on him and killed him right there sitting in his car. How do you want to spin that one? What did they do in Kentucky when the wrong information was put out? And they go to the church and they sing Amazing Grace and Glory, Hallelujah. And they were all dead.
Mm-hmm.
driven by circumstance.
No.
I need to have learned that.
Amen.
I'm not being chastised by what happens. I've been crucified with Christ. If I rob a 7-Eleven, I deserve lockdown.
Yes.
Actions have consequences. I should expect the reasonable consequences to the actions.
Amen.
So, I don't have a fear of the Lord sending a lightning bolt to zap me. There's been more than one that hoped the Lord would. I'm a silly boy in Florida who set up the Unity Conference. He wrote me an email of more than 20,000 words.
Yep.
I transformed it to my word processor. I can select all and read how many words I got. I can hit property and see more than 20,000 words. Because I wasn't interested in everybody being right, nobody being wrong, and that was wrong, scripturally.
Yeah.
And he, in the last three paragraphs, he was like that one ad I have on the radio broadcast from I believe his name. I hope to God that you get religion. You know, and he's so mad he wants to cuss.
No,
and he hates me. It's visceral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful commercial.
It really is.
This guy, after 19,000-20,000 words in the last three or four paragraphs, he is intimating that my opposition to their Unity Conference, where everybody's right, nobody's wrong, may end up in my getting in God's crosshairs and my being hurt or even killed.
Yep. How about that?
As I read it, I thought to myself, is that what you're praying for?
Oh, yeah.
Is that your heart?
Yeah.
Because it might be.
Yeah.
Or might that just be an exhibition of how awful your doctrine is?
Yeah.
And people actually attend to the conference.
Yeah.
Or Les Feldick spoke and corrected the King James Bible.
Yeah.
I can read those kinds of intimidating things and these kinds of threatening things. I learn from them.
Yes.
It's not that I'm fearless. I don't have anything to fear.
That's it.
You see, if I had something to fear, then if I didn't have any fear, when there is something to fear, you could call that fearless. You could call that brave. Anything to fear.
Amen.
This guy put a curse on you. Whatever. I mean, that's not brave. That's not courageous. That's not fearless. That's just intelligized.
Amen.
I know better.
Yes, you do.
Parenthetically, I have in the notes, and I need to say it. The fear of the Lord does not mean the Lord's scared of them.
Amen.
Some of the knuckleheads in the grace movement have taken the faith of Christ and made that Christ has faith in something.
Yes.
You've heard me say the Baptists and the Acts 2 dispensationalists are in 1917. Schofield left them. The Acts 28ers, they're right there in, 1903, where Bullinger left them. Who taught the faith of Christ? Is Christ having faith in something other than himself? Who taught the 12 disciples are in the body of Christ and not a part of Israel? Who taught chastisement the grace movement hasn't moved much from Cornelius R. Stamm.
No.
Stamm has an entire appendix in his commentary on Galatians about the 12 being in the body. And Sadler, in his introduction, says, I don't agree, but he's the master, and I'm the student. So we'll publish it as it stands. Where's Pastor Sadler's courage? Wouldn't there be a way to say, we are publishing Pastor Stamm's book as it stands, and of course he puts the 12 in the body. So in addition to his appendix, which is exactly as Pastor Stamm wrote it in whatever year, I've added my appendix to show you a different view. And with all due respect to Pastor Stamm, and I'm so grateful for everything he ever taught me, by standing on his shoulders, I can see this which he missed.
Yes.
Wouldn't there be a respectful way to do that?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be brave, honest, with integrity? What a concept. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear of the Lord, the term that we find about 20 times in the Old Testament, appears nowhere in Paul's writings.
Amen.
Interesting. Sometimes it may be just a coincidence, I guess. Lord Jesus Christ. That's the old title, isn't it?
Yes.
Doesn't appear anywhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
That's right.
Just a nitnoid. Just a trivia. It's not there. I was hoping to hear from the Asparagus Journal. So I could point out to the people there at the Asparagus Journal that the Bride of Christ does not appear anywhere in the Bible.
Amen.
Although the Baptist believe in it. The commentators, when they come to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, when they see all the references in the Old Testament about the fear of the Lord, stumble over what Paul is saying, that we don't have that. J. Vernon Fibber McGee says on page 461 of volume 5 of Through the Bible Commentary that the word fear is better translated cowardice. And Paul is not speaking of cowardice. Paul is not speaking of a good kind of fear, reverence, but rather of cowardice. So they stumble over the verse.
Yeah.
My relationship with the Godhead is inextricably changed. I am not in a covenant relationship.
Amen.
I am not. I'm a believer, not a beggar. That's the title of one of my messages from years ago, because what was beggarly, Galatians chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10, is the law. I'm not under the law. I'm a believer. I'm not if my people. I'm not in a covenant relationship where if I don't hold up my end, stick a fork in me, I'm done. Paul doesn't use the word fear of the Lord, and he teaches me, and I alluded to it half hour ago, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I'm at peace with God.
Amen.
The peace that I have doesn't mean that I always feel that I always have the same intellectual relationship that I ought to. When I'm off off my game, same as when you're off your game. It's not the same. And so you desire to improve that and do better. But I know, no matter that I'm off my game or not, don't we all have slumps?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know it's not spiritual to admit these things, but I know that my relationship hasn't changed.
Amen.
My response to the relationship isn't what it ought to be, but the relationship hasn't changed.
Amen.
I'm at peace with God, and that's through Christ. God's not mad at Jesus. I'm in Christ.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verse 1, speaking of service, says there's now no condemnation. The idea of walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh, requires constant maintenance.
Yes.
But I can't be condemned. That's what angers me so about the preacher's teaching tithing.
Yes.
That take you back to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8, 9, and 10, and say that if you don't tithe, you could be cursed. Christ was made a curse for me. I can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. I can't be made a curse. So, I have then what Paul would have me to have when he prays in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I've got a little bit of knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Yeah.
I might not have what I'd like to have as far as knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding is concerned, but I'm way ahead of where I was. And by God's grace, I continue to grow. My reconciliation is complete. I am complete in Christ. The law program did its job with me. It was the schoolmaster. I have no more need of the schoolmaster. That's Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. I'm no longer under schoolmaster. I don't need it anymore. Crucified people aren't lawbreakers.
No.
I don't have a covenant arrangement from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. I'm a stranger to the covenants. I'm a stranger to those promises given to Israel. Then all these fear of the Lord references. Fear of the Lord, God-fearing people. And all the intimidating instructions given to people from pulpits would be inappropriate because it undermines their understanding of who they really are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Apparently the new Bibles don't like having a sound mind. Notice the New American Standard, God had not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. The ASV says fearfulness, but power, love, and discipline. The NIV, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and of self-discipline. Self-discipline. My soundness of mind might not fare terribly well in a psychiatrist's office because his means of evaluating me wouldn't match my worldview.
That's right. Mm.
So he might listen to me and I might color in the little ABCD of my multiple choice and come out wacko, wacko, wacko.
That's right.
It's fascinating when your worldview changes and you see things so differently.
Yes.
You will, by happenstance, run into some of the people from your unsaved life, your
yeah.
past life, past experience, and you're on different planes. So, if I've got a sound mind, it's because God's Word works effectually.
Yes.
And I've got a sound mind because my Bible is sound, because I'm learning the material, because I'm installing it in my inner man and trusting it rather than anything the psychobabblers have got to say, the politically correct have got to say. Paul says, I've got power, but of power. Power. By what I know, I can say words from this book that changes a person's eternal destiny.
Yes.
That's powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody going to hell ends up in heaven because I recited what I learned out of this book.
Yeah.
That's powerful stuff.
Amen.
And so I've got the power to preach and to teach and to rebuke and exhort, and I've given you verses about that. I've got, and what a testimony the Dispensational Bible Institute is, I've got right there for people to access for free enough information where they can figure out what soundness of mind is all about, and they can be equipped to teach others also.
Amen.
One of the things that I need to learn is that I can be troubled on every side with outer fightings, with inner fears. Nevertheless, God, which comforted those that are cast down, comforted us, Paul says.
Yes.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, verses 4 to 7.
Yes.
The longer you're saved, the more you will become the peaceful eye of the hurricane that surrounds you.
Yes.
You've got relatives, family, friends, berserker, running pillar to post, and got to make money here, and got to feel that feeling and experience that movie, and just got to go. And you're the eye in the hurricane.
Yeah.
Of all the people you know, you're at peace.
Yeah.
And you look out your window, and there went one, there went another one. They're just wacky. You've got the peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
You've got your affection set on things above. I don't know exactly what dying's going to be like. I've never done it. But I have less and less reason to hang around here as the years go by.
Yes.
And my affection more and more is set on, what's next, Lord? Let's try that a while.
Yeah.
This is getting real bad down here. And by God's word, I've got a sound mind. I know some things. I have a perspective on some things. I don't care whether it's shared or not.
Yes.
It's Bible-based, rightly divided, God's word of truth. I can't go wrong with that.
That's right.
That being the case, if someone would look askance at me, because I believe I'm going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and I'm going to be changed from a body terrestrial to a body celestial, I don't care. I know America worships the Almighty Dollar.
Yes.
And they've actually gotten over that. I put on my blog a while ago, if my income is fixed, how come I broke? My affections aren't on how much money we can hide in a mattress. By the way, it's a mattress across the hall. That's why you don't feel alone. That's why you don't feel alone. Well, I bank wouldn't give me anything anymore. the mind then is going to run contrary to the world system. Where people seek to find gratification, where people seek to find themselves, the real me, real living, seems to be a drug-induced, confused, hedonistic, selfish lifestyle that puts you in the grave right early. We see it every day. My heart's comforted being knit together in love. I have the full assurance of understanding. I have the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And so I've got these treasures of wisdom and knowledge because I believe this book as it stands.
Yeah.
I believe it means what it says and says what it means, that is to say, literally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I rightly divide the word of truth according to Pauline mystery dispensationalism.
Yeah.
If you've got a dog that hunts any better than that, I'll try.
Yeah.
But until you produce such in one, I'll stay right where I am. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.